Last year, I read a book called The TechWise Family by Andy Crouch. It's a good book about parents and how they should navigate technology with their children. And so some of the chapters were on what age should you get a child an iPhone and at how much screen time should children have. But there was one chapter that seemed a little bit out of place in the book, and it was a chapter on singing. And Andy Crouch made the argument that he thinks that technology is taking the place of singing in our culture. And so instead of parents and children singing songs in the car as they drive down the road, they put in their iPods and listen to music. Instead of families gathering around a piano in their living room and playing and singing songs, instead they download music from iTunes, put in their earbuds, and they listen. That music has become something that we listen to rather than something that we participate in. And just as another example of this, I think if you'll notice, whenever the national anthem is sung at a sporting event or something like that, normally the way that happens is there's some professional who sings the national anthem into a microphone, and everybody else, maybe except for some older folks, but everybody else pretty much just listens. That's what music has become. And this trend is affecting churches. I just got done reading an article called 9 Reasons Why Church Members Don't Sing in Church. And the gist of the article was that in many churches, music is very professionally done, led by a professional, done with a lot of professional glitz and glamour. And because of that, people who come into the church, they see their role more as a spectator who's there to listen versus someone who's there to participate. And this trend that's going on, it kind of raises some questions. Questions like, why do we sing? Is singing important? What's the whole purpose of singing? And maybe you're someone who, when you come into worship, you would just rather kind of sit maybe towards the back and just kind of listen to what's going on. Because maybe singing is not that important to you. But did you know that there are over 500 references in the Bible to singing? And that at least 50 of those references are direct commands to sing, to the people of God commanding them to sing. Did you know that Paul, when he was talking about what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit, he said one way you can tell that someone is filled with the Spirit is they sing and make melody in their heart to God. And the longest book in our Bibles is a book that is a collection of songs that we call songs. I think singing matters a whole lot to God. I think singing is very important to God. I think a good way to understand singing is thinking about singing as a spiritual discipline. So spiritual disciplines are habits or patterns that we do in our life that help us connect to God. And so, for example, a spiritual discipline would be prayer or reading scripture or fasting or taking communion every Sunday. These are spiritual disciplines that allow us to connect with God. And I would say singing is another one of those spiritual disciplines. James 5, verse 13 says, is any of you in trouble? Let him pray. Is any of you happy? Let him sing. And singing is a unique spiritual discipline because it connects our mind and our body and our soul. It connects our mind because we think about the words as we sing. It connects our body because we actually use our mouths as we sing. And it connects our soul because we can emotionally express ourselves through singing. And maybe that's the most unique part about singing of all, that I can emotionally express myself and express truths about God to the Almighty in a passionate way. That's what makes singing so special. I think sometimes we think of singing as kind of an optional thing. You know, singing is for those that have a good voice or who are learned or taught how to sing when they were a kid. Or those for people who like to sing. But those of us who don't really like singing and we weren't really taught how to sing, we don't really feel like we have a good voice, we can just skip singing. And I want to push back against that way of thinking this month. Because we don't think about that way in any other spiritual discipline, do we? I mean, what if somebody said, you know, I just don't pray. I wasn't taught how to pray as a kid, and I don't think I'm very good at praying. I just don't pray. What would we say to someone like that? We'd say, are you crazy? What's wrong with you spiritually? Prayer is how we connect with God. You got to pray. I think we could say the same thing about singing. And someone says, well, I just don't sing. I just don't like singing. Is something wrong with you? This is how we spiritually connect with God. This is how we emotionally express ourselves to God. It's through singing. And if we never sing, or if we limit our ability to sing, we are spiritually going to be deformed in our growth in Christ. Because singing connects us to God in a unique and distinct way where we are emotionally able to engage our mind, our body, and our soul. Maybe one reason why singing is so important is because of what God does in us while we sing. Garrison Keillor, who was a popular radio personality on NPR for many years, he wrote an article in the Daily Oklahoman last year where he was talking about some of the shows that he had been on. And he was saying that before the show, one tradition that he had is he would lead the studio audience in singing a cappella. And he would lead them in songs like My Country, 'Tis of Thee, or the National Anthem, or Amazing Grace. And he said what was so unique about those moments is when everybody started singing, and if you had an audience that sang really well, he said in those moments, you had this feeling that even though there was a lot of different political persuasions and even though there's a lot of differences in the audience, in that moment as we were singing, we felt as if we were one. And I think there's some truth in that. One of the uniquenesses of Churches of Christ is that we sing a cappella, and there's a lot of different reasons for why we do that, but maybe one of them is that when we're singing a cappella and we can hear the other voices and my voice joins the other voices and we're singing loud, just like we did earlier, and there is a God, He is alive. In that moment, even though there's a lot of differences in the room, a lot of different beliefs, a lot of different racial backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, in that moment, we feel as if we are one. And as we do that and as we sing, God comes into our heart and He changes us. Over the next month, we're going to talk a whole lot about what God does in us while we collectively sing. But before I say any more, I feel like we just need to pause and sing a little bit more. We're going to sing a few more songs. And as we sing, I want you to sing out. I want you to express yourself emotionally to God and just see if you notice that as we're all singing, as we're all pouring out our hearts and souls to God, just see if you notice that in that moment we feel as one. Let's sing together.
Be reading Deuteronomy chapter 31, 19 through 22. Now write down this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it, so that it may be a witness for me against them. When I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on oath to their ancestors, when they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. Let's pray. Father, we pray in the Spirit this morning. We just love coming here as an assembly of your church to worship and sing praises to you. Father, just waking up this morning and hearing the birds singing and knowing that the heavens, the stars sing your glory. We just can't sing enough sometimes. It stirs our hearts. It makes us happy. And it definitely makes us want to share your word with those about around us. We appreciate all the things that you do for us and continue to do for us, even though sometimes we may not totally be aware of what's going on. We look to you for guidance. We thank you for your word that is written down for us to read. May we look to it to gain knowledge. May we pray to you to get the wisdom to know how to use it. Father, be with us this time of worship. Help us to sing and lift each one another up. We can't even express the words that we feel our love towards you. For it's these things we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Singing is connected to memory. So most likely the way you learned your letters was learning the song A, B, C, D, E, F, G. If you know the books of the Bible by order, it's probably because somebody in Sunday school taught you Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I still sing that song from time to time as I'm opening up my Bible. I don't know about you. The things we sing stick with us. And so that's why we learn things better when we sing, because what we sing, it sticks with us. I want to do a couple of experiments to try to demonstrate this truth to us. The first experiment is we're going to play a little game. We're going to play Name That Tune. I've selected 5 commercial jingles. I'm going to sing the first half of the jingle, and then I want you all collectively to sing the second half, if you know it. Now, I'm going out on a limb here, so don't leave me hanging, all right? See if you know these commercial jingles. Name that tune. Like a good neighbor. Wow, y'all sounded great. All right, this is a little older, so I need my older folks to help us out here. My baloney has a first name. It's
O-S-C-A-R.
Wow. Y'all are great. All right, this is for Johnny Garner. I don't want to grow up. I'm a... Oh, man. All right, this is a change of pace. We are farmers. All right, this is the last one. Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. Wow. How do we know these things? I mean, can you believe you're singing about Kit Kat bars in church? How do we know these things? The reason why we know them is because we've sung them. And when you sing something, it sticks with you. It goes down deep into your heart and soul. It gets downloaded down there so deep that it just becomes a part of your DNA. I'm going to do a second experiment to show this truth to us. Joe, I want you to come up. So I'm going to ask Joe to lead us in one verse of a song. Now, I have not told Joe what song he is going to lead. He is nervous as all get out about this. And I haven't told Kim or Justin what song I'm going to ask him to lead. We're not going to have it on the screen.
I really think this is all part of the demonstration how other churches are professional. We're not professional here.
Well, you've heard of ADD, attention deficit disorder. Churches suffer from SDD, screen dependency disorder. And so we're going to break that. We're going to break that right here. Okay, so you ready? So y'all singing with Joe, okay? I want you to lead us in the first verse of It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth thy way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, what heaven thy love thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well.
Very good. You can go down. Isn't that incredible? If you aren't raised in the Church of Christ, you know how incredible that was. That we could just, on a whim, start singing a song. We all know it. We even know the parts of it. It sounded incredible. How? It's because many of us have been singing that song for decades, if not generations. And that song has gotten downloaded into the very depths of our soul. It is embedded there. And we can just call it to mind so easily. This is why Alzheimer's patients, they might not be able to know the names of their family members, but you start singing Amazing Grace, and they will start singing that song. Because singing goes to the depths of our soul. And so if we're going to know our faith, if we're going to live our faith, if we're going to understand our faith, singing our faith becomes so important. Because singing tells us what we remember. It tells us what we believe. It keeps us in tune with our faith. Gordon Fee, who is a prominent New Testament theologian, he says, "Show me a church's songs, and I will show you that church's theology." Because what we sing is what we remember and what we believe. It's what stays with us. There is a connection between our singing and our faith. And maybe that's the reason why God gave Moses this really strange final act of leadership. Moses in Deuteronomy 31, is at the very end of his journey. He's getting ready to die. He's at the banks of the Jordan River. He's led the people of Israel there. He's not going over to the promised land. Instead, he's going to pass the baton to Joshua, and Joshua will take it from here. But God says, I want you to do one more thing before you pass away from your time as leader. What I want you to do is I want you to write a song. Now, that's a strange final act of leadership, isn't it? But God asked Moses to write a song because God knows that eventually the people of Israel are going to go over to the promised land. And once they're in the promised land, they're going to be tempted. They're going to be tempted to worship idols. And they're going to be tempted to become like the other nations. And they're going to be tempted to forget all that God had done for them in their past. And so what is it that could remind them of what God has done? What is it that could call to their mind who God is and how God has always been faithful to them? What is it? Well, God doesn't say to Moses, make a DVD. He doesn't even say to Moses, write a sermon. He says, Moses, I want you to write a song. Because God understood that if the people of Israel, if they learned this song, when they got over to the promised land and when things got tough, that song would call to their mind their faith and would bring them back to their Lord. And so Moses writes this song. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 32. We call it the Song of Moses. And the Song of Moses has two themes. Number one, there's a theme of warning. Number two, there's a theme of hope. The theme of warning is that here's what's going to happen if you wander away from God. This is the punishment that you're going to receive. But the theme of hope is that when the enemies come, and when things get difficult, if you can remain faithful, God will rescue you. And the whole song is wrapped in this beautiful bow of praise as Moses invites the people of Israel to enter into praise of Almighty God. And notice again what God said about this song in chapter 31, verse 21. It says, "And when many disasters and difficulties come upon them, this song will testify against them because it will not be forgotten by their descendants." God knows that if they will learn this song, this song of warning, this song of hope, they're not going to forget it. But when they sing it, it's going to be a witness to them. It's going to call to mind their faith. It's going to bring them back to what they know is true. It's going to bring them back to God. That's the power of singing. It recalls our story. It brings us back to God and to our faith in God. A couple weeks ago, on my Facebook wall, I put a question where I said, share a hymn or a spiritual song that is your song, that's your anthem, the song that tells your story. I had over 60 responses to that Facebook question, and I'm going to sprinkle in those requests and some of those stories along the way. Two songs that were suggested on that in response to that question were In Christ Alone and Blessed Assurance. In Christ Alone is a song that tells the story of our faith. It starts with the birth of Jesus and then talks about the death of Jesus, talks about the resurrection of Jesus. It tells that whole story. It reminds us of our faith. It calls us back to the person of Jesus and brings us back to being his disciple. And we're going to sing that here in just a moment. And then we're going to sing Blessed Assurance. This was suggested by a couple of people, one of which was my own sister, actually. Blessed Assurance was written by Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was blind when she wrote that song, which makes the song all the more meaningful because there's a line in the song that says, "Visions of rapture burst on my sight." She was blind as she wrote that. The message of the song is that I belong to Jesus. Jesus is mine. He is my Savior, and I know that I'm going to see him someday face to face. And then that powerful chorus, "This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long." It's a song that calls us back to our story. It calls us back to our faith. It reminds us of who we are and who God is, and that we have blessed assurance because we know we're going to be with Christ someday. These songs and songs like them do exactly what the Song of Moses did in Deuteronomy 32. They're witnesses to us. They remind us of what we believe, and they call us back to God. Join with me as we sing these songs, and then after that, we'll do another act of worship to celebrate our story. We'll share communion. Let's sing.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm in the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Let's stand. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
You may be seated.
I wanted to spend a month on singing this year because our theme this year is to be a people moving from disappointment to hope. And some of the most hope-filled times in my life, some of the most transformative times in my life, have been in powerful moments of singing. Maybe it's been that way for you. There's just something about when we're all singing together that God searches our hearts with the words and notes that we're singing. Have you ever had that experience? What's fascinating about the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, if you read through it, is that the pronouns jump. And so sometimes the pronouns will be about the past, and Moses will say, they did this, and they did not do this. And then sometimes the pronouns will be about the present, and will say, but you do this, or you didn't do this. And the whole point of that, I think, is that God is wanting this song to, on the one hand, to be talking about the past and the previous generations and what they did wrong or what they did right, and then at the very same time to be talking about the contemporary, to be talking about the present Israelites. He wanted those Israelites, at whatever generation they were, as they sang that song, to internalize those words for themselves and to let those words search their hearts. And I think the same thing happens today. So, for example, when we're singing Blessed Assurance and we're singing out that chorus, this is my story, this is my song. Fanny Crosby wrote those words. She wrote those words decades ago. But when I sing them, all of a sudden they become my words. And now this is what I'm saying. This is my story. This is my song. And those words, as I internalize them, those words start to search my heart. In many cases, I can be singing, maybe you're the same way, you can be singing and your heart becomes convicted because the words and the notes are touching you in a very deep place, maybe reminding you of something in your past, reminding you of the story that we have in our faith, and you're realizing, I'm not being faithful to that story. I know this happens because sometimes during our invitation time, I'll look out and I'll see people crying and I know it's not the words that I said. It's because of the song that we're singing. God is searching our hearts. I know many of you have gotten emotional when you've sung a song before. It's because those words, you're internalizing them and they're connecting with a memory from your past, and God is searching your heart and you're convicted. Maybe you've been convicted this morning in some song that we sang. And we're going to have our invitation time. And our ministers and elders are going to surround this auditorium. And if you've been convicted this morning, if you're going through a difficult time, walk over to one of your spiritual shepherds and let them pray over you. There is nothing more transformative than to having one of your spiritual leaders pray over you while you hear singing in the background. And this is your opportunity. If you're going through a difficult time, our ministers and elders will be around this auditorium. We're going to sing the song, Just As I Am, I Come Broken. It was requested by one of our college students. And he wrote me a note. He said, I love this song because there are times in my life where I struggle in forgiving myself, knowing that I'm truly forgiven. And he says, I love this song because it says that I'm welcomed by God with open arms. And we're here to welcome you with open arms. If you want to be baptized into Christ, just come to the front as we sing this song. Let's stand and let's sing this song together.